Hello, ramblers and gamblers. Josh Rosenthal here. Thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing IG at Rambling and Gambling. And the old email, ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. Welcome to March Madness, everybody. We're all going to get prepped for the tourney during this one. Our guest is Thomas Casale, who's a college basketball analyst for NBC Sports Edge. We're doing his final four picks, his favorite round one bets, cash or trash, making a comeback today. We're going to talk about tourney guys who are likely to also be NBA draft guys. This is going to be good. So without further ado, here he is, Thomas Casale. Thomas, thrilled to have you on the Rambling and Gambling Pod. My man, quickly off the top, give the listeners a little background. I know you've been doing this for a very long time and the old resume, so to speak, very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I've been betting on college basketball for over 30 years. You know, I got into college basketball with the old Big East with Pearl Washington and Patrick Ewing. So I've followed the sport for a long time. You know, worked for a couple of different companies, The Score, Odyssey, Roto Grinders, and then ended up with NBC Sports Edge, breaking down college basketball and college football. So doing everything I love.
Let's jump right in your picks for the final four. I'm thinking we go region by region. I'll throw out the team. We'll do them one at a time. I'll give a little bit of background, and then you just take it from there, anywhere you want to go. Up first, coming out of the East, you've got the second-seeded Kentucky Wildcats. This is Baylor's region. Baylor's the one here. Kentucky's the two. Kentucky, 26-7 this year. They lost to Tennessee in the semis of the SEC tourney. Some nice wins against Tennessee once. Alabama, they beat Kansas by 18. They lost this season against Tennessee two other times. Also Arkansas, LSU, and Notre Dame, among others. Thomas, what do you like about Kentucky?
Well, when I bet the tournament, I'm looking at, you know, how teams match up throughout, right? And last 48, 72 hours, I've heard a lot of Kentucky isn't that good because they lost in the SEC tournament. My answer is, how many teams can play defense like Tennessee against Kentucky? You know, a great interior defense. Tennessee's a tough matchup for anyone. You get these teams like Kentucky out of conference, and they're very, very hard to match up with because they have quick guards. They rebound so well. Something I look at a lot in the tournament is offensive rebounding percentage, because you're going to have games where you're not shooting the ball well. Can you get boards? Don't get dominated on the glass. Kentucky's the best. A good region. To me, Baylor, probably the most overrated number one seed maybe in the last decade. And it's not their fault. They just have injuries. You know, LJ Cryer probably not playing. They lost their big man down low. Those are two key players not to have in the NCAA tournament. So I think it's UCLA or Kentucky that comes out of this region.
Midwest region, you like top-seeded Kansas. They went 28-6, beat Texas Tech to win the Big 12 tourney last weekend. Also had good wins against Texas, Baylor, Iowa State. Losses include Baylor, Texas, TCU, and Dayton. What do you think of this one?
So this is my region. First two futures bets I made before the season were Kansas 18-1 and Auburn 70-1. So I'm hoping to get one of those two teams out of this region. Now, to be fair, at the end of the year, I was saying fade Kansas. I think they have some holes, but I am a man of my word. I say it got to go by matchups in the tournament. And looking at this region, I think Kansas has a really nice road to the Final Four. I think Auburn can beat them if they get there. It's just kind of hard to trust the Tigers right now with the way they're playing. And for me, Auburn's run is predicated on what happens in that Miami-USC game. Auburn will kill Miami. They have way too much size for them. USC has the size to deal with Auburn, and they play a zone, and they're going to make the Tigers shoot from three-point range and jump shots. That's not Auburn's game.
Auburn 70-1 is one heck of a ticket, man. I think they're, what, 16-1 now?
Yeah, they're, I ended up grabbing Arizona at 50-1. So I got a couple of nice ones. We're rooting for anybody but Gonzaga over here at the Casale household.
Heading down south, you have another top seed, Arizona, making it through. Wildcats 31-3 this season, beat UCLA for the Pac-12 title. Good wins, USC, UCLA, Michigan, losses against Tennessee, UCLA, and Colorado. Thomas, you also have Arizona winning it all, correct?
Yeah, and the reason I went with Arizona is because I think when every team is playing at their best, Arizona's the best team. Now, you have to get them playing at their best, and this isn't the easiest region. I have Loyola upsetting Villanova, but let's say it's chalk, right? You have Villanova who can grind them down to a halt. They'll play a slow game against them. You have Tennessee that matches up very well with them. So it's a tough region, but I'm just hoping we get Arizona's A game when it matters. And I think if we do, they're going to be tough to beat.
Who did you have Arizona? And we're going to do the last region, but did you have them beating Kentucky, was it, in the finals?
Yes, I have okay. Kentucky and Arizona.
Last one, I love this. This is the upset special. You're going big here, man. You like fifth-seeded UConn to come out of the West. UConn, 23-9 this year, lost to Nova in the Big East tourney. Nice wins against Villanova earlier in the season. Also Marquette, Auburn, losses against Creighton twice. Also Providence and West Virginia, among others. What do you see in UConn?
So this is a team, again, I think you get them out of conference and they're tough to match up with. They're physical, they rebound, they guard well. Those are all things you would need to beat Gonzaga. Now listen, UConn's got a tough first game. You know, I remember a few years ago, New Mexico State almost beat Auburn at the buzzer in the first round. Then Auburn made the Final Four. So sometimes you got to get past that tough first round game. You know, listen, I was probably not going to take Gonzaga because everyone else is. So I was trying to find a team in this region I think matches up well with them. And to me, it's UConn. I think it would be a close game. Now, they have to play close to perfect, but we'll see how it goes. I think they're one of the few teams that can compete with the Zags in the paint.
Zags 3-1 to win the whole thing. Are you fading them just because you knew other people were going to be on them, or do you think they have some flaws too?
I think they're a little overvalued. If you watch their games this year, I know the metrics love them. They're smart bettors who love them. So they're one of the two or three best teams in the country. I mean, you can't debate that. But if you saw them play some of these teams with good guards, they beat Gonzaga off the dribble. You know, I know everyone's in love with Holmgren and the front court, but I don't think their guards are as strong as last year when they had Suggs. I thought last year was Gonzaga's best team ever. They just ran into a Baylor team that was, you know, the best in college basketball, I thought, all season, came up a little short. I think this Gonzaga team's a little bit more vulnerable, especially if they play an athletic team that can beat their guards off the dribble, similar to what Alabama did early in the season.
I saw you listed Boise State, LSU, Virginia Tech, and the Chattanooga Mocs as potential sleepers. Which one of those is your favorite?
Chattanooga. That was a team back in November I said was going to be a Sweet 16 sleeper. I like their draw. There's a lot going on there. I'm not an Illinois guy. I think they have so many issues. Obviously, they got the big guy down low there in Coburn. But I think if Chattanooga can get by there, Houston UAB is an interesting game to me. I think UAB is a live underdog there. I think one of those two teams, UAB or Chattanooga, gets to the Sweet 16.
I know you've been on the Mocs for a while. Does it worry you that, I think at least I've heard a lot of people talking them up here recently since the bracket came out.
And you know why? And I knew this was going to happen. When they won at the gun there with that long shot, I just shook my head because I said, this is the first time anybody's watching Chattanooga. They saw this buzzer beater. Now they're on everybody's radar, right? So, you know, it's you always listen. The tournament's kind of changed over the last 10 years. You know, you have so many shows and talking heads talking about, you know, the upset specials. But I'll just go back to last year. One of my biggest bets ever was Arkansas against Colgate. All I heard was how Colgate was going to beat Arkansas. And I had no doubt in my mind that the Hogs would blow them out. So you never know how it's going to go. Sometimes these things go your way and sometimes they don't.
A lot of talk around Virginia Tech, at least in the East parts right around now. I'm based in DC. Obviously they just beat Duke in the ACC tourney. What do you like about Virginia Tech?
See, now that's the one that scares me. One of the things I look at on TV is not so much the Cinderellas, because these guys they're paid to give out Cinderellas, right? And Chattanooga is one of the most talented mid-majors. So that's an obvious one. I look at when there's an even game and everybody in the world is on one side. I haven't heard one person pick Texas, not one. And that scares me a little bit, to be honest with you, because I see this as an even game. I think the winner can make the Sweet 16. It's going to depend on if Virginia Tech can shoot the threes against Texas's perimeter defense. The Hokies do have some issues against guards that pressure the ball, athletic guards. But, you know, I do think they have enough to get by Texas. The Texas, you know, goes through those scoring droughts. But it is interesting to me that a game that's pretty even on the spread and the seeds, no, everyone's going one way on it.
I haven't seen anybody on Texas either.
No, nobody.
Potential first round bets. You published a great article for NBC Sports Edge yesterday. If I'm not mistaken, we're recording this Tuesday, by the way, so this would have been published Monday. You included bets you really like. UAB plus 9 over Houston, mentioned that earlier. Loyola Chicago money line against Ohio State. Colgate Raiders plus 8 over Wisconsin. The aforementioned Mox plus 7.5 over Illinois. And Iowa minus 9 against Richmond. Of those, what's your favorite?
Loyola. I've been joking all week. We got a community college down the road. If Loyola doesn't win, that's where my kids are going, because, you know, I got a lot of money on the Ramblers. It's one of those perfect storms for me where Ohio State is injured coming into the tournament. They're a team I was looking to fade, and Loyola was a team I was looking to take. So that, you know, you match those up. Same thing with Chattanooga and Illinois. I actually tweeted before the selection show, give me Illinois, and they did. So sometimes things work out your way. Sometimes they don't. You know, I like Vermont as a team. I don't think they got a great draw with Arkansas, so I'm not going to bet them. But I think Loyola's three-point defense, three-point shooting is the difference in that game, and they win rather easily.
Did I see you also call that a tuna can game?
A tuna fish game.
Tuna fish.
If Loyola doesn't win, we're eating tuna fish for a month.
I like that a lot. Let's see. Colgate over Wisconsin. That's going to surprise some people.
Yeah, I really like that matchup for Colgate. I mentioned last year, Colgate got a bad draw. You know, you're playing a team in Arkansas that plays the exact same style with better players. They're bigger down low. They're deeper. It just wasn't a great draw for them. This is a good draw because Colgate's weakness is rebounding, but Wisconsin doesn't rebound the ball well. So they're not going up against a lot of bangers. Both these teams are going to spread out and shoot. The difference is Wisconsin doesn't shoot the ball very well, and Colgate's one of the top three-point shooting teams in the country. Now, listen, if Colgate goes 3 from 25 for 25 from 3, we're going to lose. There's no doubt about it. But if they can just hit, you know, they're around their average from 3, I think they're a live underdog to get the upset.
Do you pay much attention to, for instance, in this game, Wisconsin's going to be playing in Milwaukee on Saturday night. They don't have far to go. This is a fairly familiar environment. Does that concern you?
That's a good question. And it doesn't here for this reason. Colgate is a very experienced team that's been to the tournament before. I look at that with mid-majors. Like Arizona's a young team. I mean, those guys are all NBA players. It doesn't really matter, you know. Memphis is a young team. Those guys are studs. I don't think it affects them. A team like Colgate's been here. They know what to do before the game, get into the location. I think that really matters with these smaller schools. And Colgate being experienced, I don't think is a big issue going up against Wisconsin.
Iowa minus 9 against Richmond.
Yeah, that line's jumped up since I wrote that. That's at 10.5. That's more of a Richmond fade. You know, something to watch out. Listen, Tennessee and Iowa have been playing good for a month, right? So them winning the tournaments isn't a big deal. A team like Richmond always scares me. They've had a disappointing season. You look at them on paper, they have a lot of weaknesses. They were down by 14 in the first round of the A-10 tournament, came back, got some momentum going. I think, you know, Iowa's built to beat average teams by a lot. They love, you know, beating inferior teams. With the way Iowa's playing, if they don't lay an egg, I think this is one of those 20-25-point first-round blowouts.
We have a ton of guys who come on here and, you know, the main way that they come up with what they're going to bet is statistical models. You seem like a little bit more of a gut guy to me, which I happen to love. Am I reading you right or no?
Yeah, I do. I see. One of the things I always say is I don't have one style of handicapping. I'm on KenPom and shot quality just like everybody else. But you also have to, I think you have to think for yourself a little bit. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. Houston. The metrics love Houston. They're a good basketball team, no doubt about it. A couple guys they lost for the season, Marcus Sasser, I think that's going to impact them. Also, their best win came on Sunday against Memphis. Their second best win is over Oklahoma State. They're in the NI. You know what I mean? Like, so the metrics love Houston. I think the metrics are a little overvalued with Houston because they haven't really played much since the beginning of the season.
Thomas, we do a little segment on this show, mostly during football season. We haven't broken it out in a while, but we're going to do it today. We call this one Cash or Trash. Here's the deal. I'm going to give you a bet I like. I'll tell you why, and then you tell me whether it's cash or trash. Very simple. You into this?
I'm into it.
All right, here it is. I am taking the Duke Blue Devils to miss the Sweet 16, to miss it altogether. It's just about a 2-to-1 bet plus 198 at FanDuel. Full disclosure, I'm a bit of a square bettor all the time. I'm especially square when it comes to college basketball, which I watch, but I don't watch with the same regularity that I watch NBA or NFL. I was pretty set on picking against Duke even before I dug into the numbers here. I'm a Maryland grad. We were still in the ACC at the time that I was in school. Just don't like Duke. Don't like Coach K. I do not buy this. We're going to win one, you know, for Coach K in his last tourney. And then you look at the numbers. Actually, this is something that I know you retweeted, actually. I think somebody named Connor O'Neill pointed it out, but that Duke's five worst defensive efficiency performances have come in the last six games. They're trending in the wrong direction. Oftentimes, you know, what do I know? Like I said, I'm a square bettor. I just, you know, watch hoops just like everybody else. I'm not so sure Coach K is the best tournament coach these days. Sometimes I think they're a little too structured, and I'd like to see those amazing athletes and players do a little bit more there. I don't think they lose to CSU Fullerton in the first round. I do think they lose to either 7-seeded Michigan State or maybe even more likely in my mind, 10th-seeded Davidson in the second round. So there it is. Duke will not make the Sweet 16. It's a plus 198 bet. Thomas, please give me a very brief pause after you say either cash or trash before you finish the rest of your answer, because we like to put cheesy sound effects in here. But bottom line, my man, give it to me. Is this bet cash or trash?
Cash.
All right. How come?
Well, here's the thing. You said everybody wants Coach K to, you know, ride off in a blaze of glory. Are we sure the players do? Because they're not playing hard. I can tell you that. Listen, I know everything there is to know about Syracuse basketball. Been following the team for 40 years. Buddy Boeheim is as important a player to a team as anyone in the country. The fact that they struggled with that Syracuse team, listen, a top-seeded team against that Syracuse team without a Buddy Boeheim, they'll lose by 30. So that really raised the red flag for me. And watching them all ACC tournament, where's the intensity on defense? They're just kind of going through the motions. I mean, this doesn't look like a team that wants to send their coach off. I don't know. I feel like there's something going on there because those guys are too good to play defense that way. But it's been going on for a while now, and I don't know if that's something you can just fix in the tournament. You mentioned Davidson. I would be rooting for them to beat Michigan State. I think they match up pretty well with Duke. Michigan State is terrible. You know, Duke could probably win that game. Davidson, I think, is a much bigger threat to upset Duke in the second round.
I love it. By the way, Duke to miss out on the Elite Eight, so to win one more game than what I'm betting when I last saw it, it was minus 166. Didn't want to lay the juice, and it's more fun to, you know, say Duke's going to get knocked out in the Sweet 16. But just for the listeners, in case you're interested in that one, that's what it is. Thomas, let's hit some tweets that you've put out there recently. We've pulled a few of these tweets, three of them all together. First one, this is one that you sent out on Selection Sunday. And I quote, "The game I wouldn't bet with your money, North Carolina versus Marquette." That was the tweet. Explain that one.
Yeah, I think North Carolina is going to win. And if they do win, I think they can beat Baylor. But the problem is, which UNC team's going to show up? You know, Marquette's been inconsistent this year. UNC's been inconsistent this year. You know, you got something about Marquette. This is what scares me about this game. I know a lot of people like UNC to make a little run in this tournament. Marquette doesn't have as much talent as North Carolina. They're going to come to play. Yeah, they're going to have energy. They're going to have intensity. We know that. If UNC isn't ready to play, Marquette's going to beat them. So I just think that's a hard matchup to try to predict with all the other games on the board.
two more of these tweets, and they go together. First one, you say, quote, worst draw of the tournament, Akron Zips. And by the way, I want to know why the Zips got the shaft, and I think you probably know what tweet I'm throwing up next. It's your correction. So give me this one first.
St. Peter's?
Yeah, that'll be the next one.
Oh, okay. Oh, you want Akron first.
Give me Akron first.
So, yeah, Akron is a team that I was thinking about backing in the tournament. They're a tough team to play because they play at one of the slowest paces in the country. So if they have a four-point lead with 10 minutes to go in the first half, they're going to start milking the clock. They're going to start limiting possessions, right? So that's something if you're looking to bet live. How's that game going in the first 10 minutes? Because if Akron can get a lead on UCLA, it's going to be hard for the Bruins to cover that 14. The problem is UCLA can play different ways, right? They don't play one way. They can slow it down. They can speed it up. They're one of the few teams in the country, I think, can beat you many different styles. So I don't know if it's a good matchup for Akron. I think UCLA is going to get out to a lead, and then they can't play their system where they want to limit possessions because they're going to be behind. So I would lean UCLA here.
Last tweet, quote, correction, worst draw of the tournament, St. Peter's Peacocks, the poor Peacocks, Thomas.
I love the Peacocks. That's one. Remember, I said I got a couple of my matchups. But I said to myself, just don't give us Kentucky. And they got Kentucky. St. Peter's plays an aggressive, physical style of defense. They wear you down low in their conference. The problem here is they have to go up against the Big O down low. I see some of their guys getting an early foul trouble because nobody plays as aggressive as St. Peter's. If you haven't seen them play, they live off their defense. And I just don't think they got the right matchup style with Kentucky with their height and depth and quickness. Sooner or later, they're going to pull away from the Peacocks.
So if they'd gotten a two seed other than Kentucky, would you seriously entertain taking the Peacocks in round one?
Yeah, with the point, like I was hoping maybe a Purdue or, you know, even a Kansas who they could bother a little bit on. But I don't like the stylistic matchup because Kentucky has too many athletes and especially, you know, with their size down low. If St. Peter's gets an early, that's another live bet if you're looking. If St. Peter's gets a couple of early fouls there, Kentucky's going to wear them down pretty quickly.
Do you have any like other big picture? Because I love how you talk about style and you look into that and you're not just a numbers guy. Do you have any other stuff that you look for specifically during the NCAA tourney?
There's three metrics I think that really, I always say these are important if games are going to be close. I mentioned one, offensive rebounding. Two's turnovers. If a team's that LSU-Iowa State game, there might be 94 turnovers in that game. Both teams turn it over a ton, and both teams create a lot of turnovers. So sooner or later, if you commit a lot of turnovers in a close game, that's going to come to bite you. And the other one's free throw shooting. How often do you get to the line? Now, that's something I think is very underrated in college handicapping. Some teams are designed to get to the line a lot because they drive to the rim. Others shoot from the outside all the time and don't take a lot of free throws. How often do you get to the line and do you convert on those opportunities? A lot of times that decides close games.
This is awesome stuff, Thomas. Few more, then I'm going to let you go. I know you're incredibly busy right now. Guys playing in the tourney who may very well go high, will go high in the next NBA draft include Holmgren, Gonzaga, Jabari Smith of Auburn, Paolo Banchero, Duke, Purdue's Jaden Ivey, Keegan Murray from Iowa. There are plenty of others too. Which future NBA guys do you see having the best tourney run?
That's a tough one. I think Chet Holmgren is going to have a good tournament. You know, I think he can get pushed around a little bit by some guys, but I think overall, I mean, he's a really great player. So I think he's really going to shine in March. I don't really love Purdue, but Jaden Ivey to me is a type of guy who, is really going to excel in March. Let me throw a name out there to you. How about Jelly Walker from UAB?
One of the
best players in the country. His name is Jelly Walker. I mean, man, talk about if they can beat Houston, talk about a guy America will fall in love with in March Madness. I mean, you got to go Jelly Walker.
I love the Jelly Walker pick. Perfect. Are of these future NBA guys, do you have any guess as to which will be the best pro?
I would say Jabari Smith for Auburn. I think his tools really translate to that. Holmgren is going to be a great player. Sometimes it's kind of hard to know how he's going to go in the NBA. You know, when he gets with those bigger guys night to night, I know he brings a lot more to the table than just his slender build. But I'm going to be interested to see how that translates in the NBA. But I'm a big Jabari Smith fan.
Listening to draft analysts, and tell me if you agree with this, it seems to me that a lot of the experts feel like Jabari has the highest floor, probably by a lot, and that Holmgren has the highest ceiling.
Agreed. I agree. And, you know, I would say a guy's game who probably translates better to the pros than even college is Ty Washington for Kentucky. I think he's going to be fantastic in the NBA.
You are a Banchero believer in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. I don't know if I would take him first overall. I think he's more of a guy, if he's slotted to the right team with the right surroundings, he's going to be very good. But I think the two guys ahead of him, I think, have the higher ceiling.
What's your best advice for casual gamblers heading into the tourney?
Yeah, don't fall in love with certain teams. You know, it's just people don't like Duke, or they don't like Kentucky, or, you know, they're dying to get the big upset pick. But are things set up right for it, right? And, you know, I know a lot of people don't follow college basketball like I do, and they're just going to listen to different people. You know, if you're picking an upset, just kind of look and see, is this a realistic upset, right? Is this a team that can actually win a game in the tournament? You know, like I said, I like St. Peter's. They're not going to beat Kentucky. So that's one thing. That's one piece of advice. And the other piece is, if you do watch some college basketball, don't just go by what you saw the last week. All right. It's, you know, Kentucky lost, Arkansas lost. Now all of a sudden, you know, these teams aren't as good. That's nonsense. They're very good teams that lost in their conference tournament, and sometimes that turns out to be a plus because they get a little break before the NCAA tournament, and you see them rejuvenated Thursday or Friday.
What else am I missing, man? Anything else you want to add?
No, I mean, I think we got it all. I mean, you can fade my Final Four. I haven't won a brackets tournament since Danny Manning was named the most valuable player of the Final Four. So I don't know if you want to take what I have, but I use the brackets for fun. I enjoy them because, you know, I got a lot of money on the line. So the brackets are something I do with my kids. We have fun. And so that's how I play it.
The brackets are ridiculous. I won my office pool last year. And like I've told you, I'm not even a college basketball guy. I have a gambling podcast. We're going to do episodes on March Madness, obviously. I love March Madness. I like watching it. But the fact that I'm winning that when I'm, you know, getting my butt kicked on some other sport that I actually watch all the time and like to think I know, tells you everything you need to know about the brackets, right?
And there's no sport like college basketball. There's no sport that goes from 0 to 100 faster than college basketball. Nobody cares about it, you know, until at least conference tournament week. Then everybody cares about it. It's one of the biggest events. You know, that's why I think it's such a great sport to bet, because I'm making all my money in December and January and November. That's where you make all your money betting college basketball. I'll be completely honest with you. The worst time to bet college basketball is right now. Football's over. These lines are locked in. All the value was back in before Christmas.
I'm glad you said that. I mean, basically, just in case listeners didn't get that, you're saying that there are fewer games now, whereas you'll have 300 plus at the beginning of the season. And not only are there fewer games now, but everybody's looking at it. So the value is taken out of it because sharps like yourself are throwing their hat in the ring, and lines are being moved accordingly.
Right. And the thing about betting college basketball is, I'll throw out a team nobody knows anything about, UNC Wilmington, who was undervalued early on in the season and ended up being undervalued for 2 months. If you can find a team like that early, you can clean up, because the odds makers are still making, you know, it's football time. Nobody's betting college basketball but me and 9 other people. So it's not a big deal. But that's really where you make your money as a college basketball bettor. This is more fun. You know, I find a couple matchups I like. I unload on Loyola. We have some fun on Twitter. But my damage has already been done long ago.
and hopefully you don't end up eating canned tuna at the end of it. Thomas, this is great.
Loyola. Get me Loyola in the rest time.
And the rest, you're good. Yeah. I absolutely love this. I feel like I've learned a ton too. So thank you so much for coming on. Thomas, where can people find you?
At the Tom Casale on Twitter. You'll hear me complaining about Syracuse and the 2-3 zone. If you want to listen to that stuff, give me a follow.
Thomas Casale, college basketball analyst for NBC Sports Edge. I know how busy you are, especially this time of year, how in demand you are. So I can't thank you enough for coming on the Rambling and Gambling podcast. Like I said, you're a great man. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
That'll do it for today, Ramblers and Gamblers. More tourney stuff coming next week ahead of the Sweet 16. Also, I think we're going to talk a little bit about betting on the Academy Awards. Still lining that one up, but I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. Should be fun. Thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing. IG at Rambling and Gambling. Email me, ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. Everybody, have a great week.